everyone. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Linda, and we are talking about careers today, and we have a very interesting article about what to do in an interview. And I have two very knowledgeable and interesting men with me in the studio today. Would you like to introduce yourselves?
Well, thank you, Linda. This is Josh. I'm very glad to join everyone back for another interesting article in our advanced features, but I'm also very happy from the compliments that I've gotten from our host, Linda, here.
And I'm Simon, and it's always a pleasure to be on Advanced Radio.
So I know you're familiar with these two gentlemen, and you know that they have a lot to say and are very knowledgeable in a lot of different fields. So today we are on page 42, if you have your magazine, and we are going to be reading the first column on this page and then down into part of the second column, and then we're going to talk about things to ask in an interview. What to ask in an interview is our title. Usually when you go to an interview, don't you think about what's going to be asked of you, not about what you're going to ask?
Yeah, I think usually. I mean, we spend a lot of time preparing for interviews.
But do we prepare in the right way, always?
Well, usually, like you said, we're preparing to answer different kinds of questions, right?
I think we do. I think a lot of times when we're thinking about an interview, we're thinking about what the potential interviewer is going to ask us and how to seem like we're knowledgeable or good at what we're going to do.
So this is kind of an article, not turning the tables exactly. Turning the tables means turning it around and putting it in another perspective, but things that you should prepare for or prepare even that you're not going to be answering, but you yourself as the interviewee is going to be asking. So let's do our reading, and then we'll have some discussion about some of these ideas.
What to ask in an interview. Impress your next interviewer with these 10 questions. When you are getting ready for a job interview, don't forget to prepare questions for your potential boss or hiring manager. Employers often ask at the end of an interview if a candidate has questions. You should be prepared with a list. That's your moment to shine more and maybe even clinch the deal. Always have questions, says Bill Caskey, president of Caskey Achievement Strategies, an Indianapolis-based coaching and training firm. If you say you have no questions, that tells the employer that you are not very curious. Asking the right questions tells the employer that you have invested time in learning about the company or organization. The candidate who doesn't have questions comes across as someone who is ill-prepared or just not interested, says Tim Duger, career coach and owner of Career Cafe, LLC in Indianapolis. So, what questions should you ask? Here are a few suggested by Duger and Caskey.
So, when we go to an interview, we not only want to be interviewed for the interviewer to find out our skills or our background, but we also want to find out something about the company.
So this is something that I have really tried to encourage people to do when I've been interviewing them for a job, is to really get them in the space where they're asking good questions about what they think they may be facing in the job that they're looking for, but also asking a little bit about the company to show that they know what they're getting into.
I think it's interesting that they made note here that employers often ask at the end of an interview. And I think that's important that we ask our questions at the end of the interview, because I think really the priority in the interview should be to answer questions well. And maybe this is a secondary thing. You don't want to be asking questions all the way through the interview.
Right. So I think that's kind of a valid point. I know that when I interview people, I always wait till the end of the interview and ask them if they have any questions, because you want to find out information first. And the one thing that you really can tell when you ask an interviewee if that person has any questions is their knowledge background of your company or your business that they're interviewing for. So let's take a look at our article and see what kind of suggestions or ideas that they have for us. In the very first paragraph, it says, if you're getting ready or when you're getting ready for a job interview, don't forget to prepare questions for your potential boss or hiring manager. If somebody is your potential something, what are they, Simon?
Well, it means they could be your boss, but it's not a sure thing. You don't know if they will be or won't be yet. It's just there's a chance.
Okay. So there's potential for you to be hired, mm-hmm. or in here it's you, that's a noun, or here we use it as an adjective describing the boss or hiring manager.
And I think this is a good point. It sort of ties into what we were talking about before, about letting the person doing the interview kind of run the interview and then asking your questions at the end, because what this kind of implies is that it's quite possible that the person who is interviewing you may be your direct supervisor or manager or involved in the day-to-day operations of the company. So you really want to be a little bit careful in order to set a good tone for who you may be working with in the future.
Right. You don't want to take over the interview, so to speak.
Exactly.
And I've had that happen to me, you know, where I wasn't prepared for that, for the person I'm interviewing to start asking me questions. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm getting asked, how much am I going to get paid? What am I going to, you know, all kinds of questions. Like, wait a minute, I've got three sentences out. And, you know, it kind of gives you a different feeling about a person.
Definitely.
Yeah, you might think they are pushy, right?
And you may not want to work with somebody
who is pushy. Might not want to work with them.
That's a very
good
point.
Right. And also, as we said before, that often at the end of an interview, I think that was a very interesting point, Simon, that a candidate, you can ask if a candidate has questions. And if that happens to you, you should be prepared.
Right. This is your moment to shine, right? So this is your moment in order to really present yourself in the best light or in the best way. And like they say here, this might be what clinches the deal, which when we say to clinch the deal is to finally get or to win something or really make it secure that, like, this is going to be yours.
And I'm going to hire you.
Right, exactly.
That's right. Oh, I was just going to say, one of the interesting things about questions is that, like you mentioned, Linda, you can use your questions to show that you really understand the job or the industry or the business, and that does give you a chance to shine, right?
And shine here means to stand out, as you said, to
exactly.
show.
Mm-hmm.
You, we don't want to say show off,
right?
Because show off has kind of a negative connotation, like I know more than you do, mm-hmm. kind of. But mm-hmm. to stand out or to shine means that you'll be noticed more.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I think when you're interviewing for a job, I know that the job market is tight in all over the world, and you want to leave behind something that impresses the interviewer or the hiring manager for a company. You don't want to be the other 100 in among the other 100 that doesn't stand out at all.
Right.
And then according to Bill Caskey now, he's president of Caskey Achievement Strategies, and this is a coaching and training firm. So what do you think they mean here by coaching? We usually think of coaching for sports, but here, what do you think this means, Simon?
Well, we do, but we've also done articles here at Advanced and at Studio Classroom about career coaches, and those are people who do the same thing as a sports coach. They help you develop your skills, and they help you develop your character, but here, instead of for sports, it's for your career. So they help you develop your career and develop your skills that will be useful in your career.
And what is one thing that Bill Caskey says you should always have?
Well, he says you need to have questions,
mm-hmm.
and then he provides a reason for that. He says that basically you have to have questions because if you don't, there will be negative consequences.
Did you have that feeling when you were interviewing people, Josh? If I were interviewing and I didn't ask you any questions, would that give you a feeling?
I would definitely say, just similar as he says here, that you're not very curious or you're not very interested or you haven't really put a lot of thought into what it means in order to work with me or work for our company. And those qualities are a little bit off-putting when you're looking for somebody to hire, that's for sure.
Right. I don't know if it sounds right to say it puts a lot of pressure on the interviewer, because when that happens to me and the candidate has no questions, I feel like I need to find out what they know.
Right.
And so I'm like you know, searching around for how to get more out of them. Like, what do you know about the job you're applying for? So it's like turned around. Questions that that person should be asking me, I'm changing the question format to get them to tell me more.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, just to add to that, you have to be careful, too, when you ask your questions. Like we've mentioned that questions can show you really know a lot about the job, mm-hmm. but they can also show that you are really, I guess we could say, not on the same page as the interviewer. Like if you're asking questions that have nothing to do with the job or don't really show a good understanding of what's going on, then those can be dangerous questions. And so it's good to have a chance to hear those from a candidate.
Right, and you want to make a good choice when asking questions. Like, I would suggest maybe a bad choice would be something like, is it okay to eat at my desk?
Right? Sure.
Where you're asking questions about, you know, maybe rules in the workplace that sort of really show that maybe you may have had a problem with rules in the workplace in the past, right?
Yeah.
That's happened to me, and it shows me there is an assumption that I'm going to hire you.
Sure.
And, you know, when you start asking those kind of detailed little questions, like, when's our coffee break? Or, you know, things like that.
Something you would normally ask after you're hired, right?
Right.
As opposed to getting to know the company that you're working for.
Or how long is lunch break?
Right. Exactly.
Things like that, mm-hmm. you know. You have to be very careful. And actually, Caskey and Duggar have given 10 questions to ask that we're going to be talking about a little bit later. But this fits in right with the next paragraph that you need to ask the right questions. And I think it's important what the question should show what.
Well, they want to show that you've spent time doing your homework, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that you understand this company and this organization or this industry or the kinds of things they're really looking for in an employee.
Right. You have enough interest in the position to actually do some digging. I've had people tell me, yes, I've looked you up when I ask them if they have any questions. I've looked up your website and, you know, I have a question about this particular thing.
Sure.
Or, you know, it shows me that the person really is interested.
Definitely. And, you know, like it says here in the article, you don't want to come across as someone who is not interested, right? So you don't want to give the people this feeling that you really are presenting, at least, that you're not interested or not curious, because you really want to come across as somebody who is very capable and able to look into things and sort of add something to being an employee at your company or business.
Right, and come across means to leave an impression with somebody. So if you come across as somebody who's ill-prepared or very poorly prepared, then you can't tell if the person is interested or not interested, right? I mean, that's the feeling I get anyway.
That's right. I wanted to mention, too, while we were listening to the reading, they read this career coach's name, Tim Duggar. I probably would have guessed Duggar. Would you have guessed that?
Yeah, but you never know about names. That's why
It's true. You never know about last names. It's hard with proper names. In order
so,
to
of
get
course, listeners, if you don't know what the name is, the easiest thing to do is just ask.
There you go.
Nobody's offended if you ask how to pronounce their name. Mm-hmm. But they do get offended if you keep pronouncing it the wrong way.
It's true.
Well,
right?
Yeah, we might be saying it the wrong way.
Yeah.
It might be Duggar or Duggar.
Let's just not say his name again. Mm-hmm. We'll say this career coach.
Okay. So are anything else in here? You know, this is a coaching and a training firm. And I think the difference between coaching and training is what, Simon? When you coach somebody, you've already said this, but what's the difference between that and training?
To be honest, I'm really sort of guessing here, but my understanding is that when you go to see a career coach, it's usually kind of one-on-one, like you're going for counseling. But when I think of going for training, I tend to think of being in a class or attending a seminar or a workshop.
I would say the same thing. Now, there is a term that's called a personal trainer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a one-on-one thing. But that tends to be literally like somebody who's offering personal services or in the physical realm, so not necessarily in career coaching, right? But I would agree with Simon's sort of guess at this, is that coaching would be more one-on-one in this industry, whereas trainings would be something that you would go like a seminar or a workshop or you're in groups with people who are learning together.
Yeah, I agree with both of you.
Yeah, the name of the business here, Career Cafe, also sort of suggests it's a group thing. because you maybe wouldn't meet one-on-one in the cafe for training, right?
Right. Well, let's go to our questions. We have three questions that we're going to be looking at today, but let's read about them first. So if you have your magazine, we're in the second column on page 42.
One, find out about the position. Why is the position open? How long has it been open? That way you know if it's been open for longer than 6 months, there must be an issue, Duger says. Two, what skills and experiences are you looking for in your ideal candidate? This will give you an idea of what exactly they want, and if you miss an opportunity to elaborate on a skill you have, this will be your chance. 3. Find out about the company's work culture. Ask the manager how he or she contributed toward the culture of the company, Kasky says. Ask about what they enjoy most about working in that company or organization. This will let you know whether people are satisfied with their jobs and why. If they can't define it, that's a definite red flag.
Well, we have three questions we're going to talk about today. And first of all, the first one that they list is find out about the position. Why is the position open and how long it's been open? I think the three of us agree that this probably is not the best first question to ask.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit of a strange question, actually, because I guess the advice we've been getting up to now from our career coaches is that you're trying to use your questions to show the interviewer that you know about what is happening in the company, right? You want to show that you've done your homework. And this question really shows that you maybe don't really know anything about the job you're applying for or the role it plays within the company anyway.
Do you have any thoughts on this, Josh?
Well, I did have some thoughts on this. So it says basically to ask whether or not it's been open for a short or an extended period of time to see that perhaps if this listing has been available or not filled for a long period of time, that there might be some sort of issue. That meaning that there might be something internally going on in the company that's caused it to be difficult in order to fill the position. Although there are other reasons why positions will go unfilled for a long period of time. One of the things I did think about, however, in this particular question is whether or not the position that you're being hired for is a new position or an established position. So sometimes companies will create new teams or they will go into new product lines or into new endeavors within the company, and that will create some new positions as opposed to an established one. And that would probably be a good thing to know whether or not you're going to be blazing new ground or if it's something that's been well established within the company.
I think as an interviewer, I would, if this were a new position that we were interviewing for, I would say that.
You would think so.
Don't you think?
You
I mean,
think so.
I think I would say that to the person.
I think the job ad would sort of say that. You know,
well,
when you're,
it depends.
It depends on how you got there, for
yeah.
sure. But you would hope so. You would hope in that instance that kind of information would be important to share up front.
And I also felt that way about question number two. What skills and experiences are you looking for in your ideal candidate? Well, I don't know. As an interviewer, I don't know if I would state that up front because you want to elicit from the candidate what they have to offer.
I guess it depends, too, very much both what kind of job you mm-hmm. are applying for and also maybe how far along in your career you are. Like, for example, if we were hiring an editor here, and the person was asking this question, it would just show you they really don't know anything about being an editor, right? They don't have any experience as an editor.
And true. And sometimes you don't know. I remember I have a friend who graduated from grad school a few years ago and went to interview at a fairly prestigious company in his area. And that company always hired from this graduate school. And he spent an entire day and a half interviewing with them. And there were three candidates from the school. And in the end, they didn't hire any of them. They said, and the professors were like, you know, you were perfect for the job. We don't know why. And he didn't have any idea why he wasn't hired for the position either. So, you know, you never really know. So maybe this is a good question. If toward the end you still haven't found out something, you know, like what exact skills are you looking for? If that hasn't been stated.
I guess, too, that the positive side, both of question one and this second question, are that they help you get more information, right? So, like, it is true if a position has been open for 6 months or it keeps opening up again, it really should be a, what do they call it here, an issue, right? It should be a warning to you that there's maybe a problem. And, again, in this second one, they have an unrealistic list of things they are looking for in a candidate, that should really be a warning to you.
Right. But I like what they state about number two is that it will give you an idea of exactly what the company wants, and it will also give you an opportunity to elaborate on a skill you have. Maybe that you just kind of glanced over or just stated briefly before, now you can talk more about it. And if you elaborate on something, that just means that you add more information to explain it. You give more details about something.
So in the spirit of elaboration or adding more details, maybe for number two, another suggestion would be, while still trying to ask about the ideal candidate, if you get a sense over the course of your interview that they're pushing towards a certain quality, that maybe that's consistency, maybe it's flexibility, maybe it's creativity, there may be an opportunity here to ask about whether or not you understand their presentation of an ideal candidate, and then once you establish that's true, you might be able to then elaborate on how you are particularly good at that particular quality.
Mm-hmm. Very good point. Okay, and then our third point is that it would be to your benefit to find out about the company's work culture. So every company has this, and it's just it's unstated, right?
Sure.
When you're talking about a work culture, what does it mean to you guys, a work culture?
Well, it basically means, you know, what it's like to work at the company. So some companies are, everybody's sitting quietly at their desk working diligently. Other companies are much more interactive and creative. Some companies, people spend a lot of time together socializing afterwards, and in other companies, they don't. And so in a lot of ways, a company can be like a country or a group of people and have a special culture that's all its own.
Okay. Have you found that in the companies you work for?
I definitely have found each of the companies I've worked for have their own distinct work culture. And you know, they've all been different. They've all had positive and negative effects as far as I'm concerned, but mm-hmm. they it's good to know what the culture is so that you can be able to work well within the culture.
Right, and that is one of our specialized terms. So, you know, it says it's a set of existing ideas and attitudes that can be found within a particular company or organization, and it is not stated. A work culture is something that's not stated like in a employee handbook or anything like that. It's just the attitude within the company or the ideas as both of you have said that people operate under, but it's not like written down. It's kind of, you know, accepted and developed and understood. So you need to find out what that work culture is. And I thought the next set of questions or the next bit of few suggestions that Caskey gives were quite interesting. So ask the manager how he or she contributed toward the culture of the company. I thought that was kind of odd, if I can be honest. What did you guys think?
Yeah, I actually kind of liked this one because I think it actually is very important to figure out what the work culture is at a company you're going to.
Oh, and, I do too.
You know, in my experience, if people are not a good fit with the work culture, they are just miserable, very unhappy with the job, even if it's a good job and it's paid well, things like that.
But would you ask, if somebody was interviewing you, would you ask them how they've contributed toward the culture of the company? I thought that sentence in particular was odd.
Well, it's a little bit strange because, although it's true, people mm-hmm. who are in management do tend to drive the work culture. So that means that they're one of the people who are involved in kind of creating the sense of how people work together, although they aren't necessarily responsible for it.
Right.
But wording it in such a way, you might put somebody who's giving an interview off a little bit. So I would be very careful about how you word it. And you're right, the wording here is a little bit...
Just in that sentence, I think the next part of it is fine, like ask what the person enjoys about working in the company or organization.
Sure.
You know, I think you can tell a lot from that. And no manager is going to say, I contribute to the work culture by doing this.
Right.
I mean, I think it's kind of subtle in their own minds anyway, even though the person interviewing you might know very well what the company culture is.
Sure.
You know, they're not going to say, oh, yeah, I did this. I made it very awkward to work here. Or
Right, exactly. That's a very good point, right? I was going to say you might be able to flip the two questions, right? You might be able to start off with, why they feel satisfied or what they feel good about the work culture, and then maybe after they answer that, be like, oh, so how do you really see yourself as, you know, kind of defining that or driving that, right?
Yeah, and I was just going to add that I think actually the question is much less important than getting the interviewer to talk about the company culture.
Right.
Because,
I agree.
When you get someone talking about what it's like to work at the company, you're going to get a lot of sort of buzzwords or keywords coming out of them, like be on time or be flexible or creative or, you know, community. You get these kinds of words, and they can tell you a lot about what it's like to work at that place.
That's true.
But I think the last sentence is kind of interesting. If the person can't define it, then that's a red flag. And a red flag is something that's, it's a warning.
Yeah.
So, well, we have more for you tomorrow. We have 7 more points that we're going to discuss with you about what to ask in an interview. So we hope you'll come back and join us again. Bye for now.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.